What is the proper way of taking darshan of the deities? Generally, our acharyas, they say that there's the subjective viewpoint and the objective viewpoint. The subjective viewpoint is from I'm the subject, and I'm looking at objects. So we generally say, I took darshan of Krishna. I'm going for darshan. I saw Krishna. That's subjective view. But if we take it from the other side, subjective, the Krishna's subjective view is that we can't really see Krishna, but we're seen by Krishna. Sudarshan, good darshan. Krishna's seeing us. So when we go before Krishna, we go to be seen by Krishna. Because when Krishna's glance falls upon us, then we become purified. We become sanctified. We become more eligible to be accepted by the Lord. Going for darshan is going to give Krishna a chance to look at us. Krishna, see me? I'm the object. You're the subject. This is changing the subjective viewpoint. I am the object of Krishna's glance, his sudarshan, his good glance. He's looking at me. Krishna, here I am. They say, naked before the truth. Stand naked before the truth. So the truth, the absolute truth, is personified. The absolute truth is a person. The supreme personality of God is Sri Krishna. The deity is Krishna in person, a personality of truth, the embodiment of truth, the absolute truth. When we go into the temple, then we're standing before the truth. So standing naked doesn't mean to remove one's clothes, but standing naked means to remove one's covers. Clothing is a covering for the body, but ego is a covering for the Atma, false ego. I am the doer. I am great. I am perfect. So standing naked before the deity means to take off your covers. release your upadis, release your designations. Become free. Krishna, I'm not a woman. Krishna, see me? Krishna, do you see me? I'm standing in front of you. I'm not a man. I'm not a woman. I'm not rich, poor, fat, ugly, thin. What do you see? Do you see me as I really am? I am your eternal servant. I am standing before you. Kim karomi? Ai nanda tanusha kinkaram. Ai nanda tanusha kinkaram. Kim karomi? What may I do to serve you? How may I serve you? Kim karomi? What can I do to please you? I am standing before you. You see me? You're my master. I'm standing before you. Okay, what service now? What should I do now? I'm taking all my covers off. I'm naked before the truth. Dasosmi. Use me. Use me. Engage me. Serve. Use me. Engage me. Take some service from me. Somehow or other. May I be of some use in your service? Do you see any value in me? You're looking at me. Do you see any value in me? Do you see anything worthwhile in me that you can utilize for your service? This should be the prayer. Krishna, I'm standing before you, naked. I'm stripping myself. So we strip ourselves before the Lord. All mental conceptions, all doubts, we strip away all doubts. So darshan means to be seen. See, Krishna, do you see what I really am? Krishna, do you see me? Darshan, Krishna's seeing us. Because how can we see Krishna? Krishna's transcendental. Our eyes are material. How can matter see spirit? How can our material eyes see the spiritual form of Krishna? Satchitananda Rupam. The deity is also Satchitananda, transcendental. Of course, prayer is there. Prayer is told in Shastras that we should offer prayers when we come before the Lord. Told in Nectar Devotion. It says five or seven different entries of the 64 limbs of devotion are about the bhakta and the archavigraha. Maybe 9 different points out of the 64 limbs of devotion. You can read in Nectar Devotion. There are 64. And it says, to come before the Lord and feelingly offer prayers. Feelingly offer prayers before the deity. To come before the Lord and reveal one's mind in confidence to the deity. Well, it's almost like a dialogue. It's almost like you talk. Aside from the philosophy I was mentioning, on the actual subjective view, God's subjective view, he's the subject and we're the object of his glance. What does he see? But in a more practical way, we come before the deity, we can pray, Krishna, please, I'm not a very good bhakt. And I have so much bad things in me. So please, your glance is Sudarshan. Your glance is Sudarshan. And it's also, you also carry the Sudarshan. Sudarshan is a disc weapon. He cuts the head off of Shishupal with a disc. He throws his disc, cuts off Shishupal's head. Sudarshan. So that's also there. It means his glance, his auspicious glance. But his auspicious glance also cuts us. Cuts us to the quick. Cuts our attachments. Krishna's glance of mercy. When Krishna glances at us, his glance is full of mercy. His glance is full of love. And when we receive the mercy and the love from Krishna's glance, then that reduces our attachments. So then that's the Sudarshan disc. Cuts. He's cutting our material attachments. So Krishna, I want to be a good devotee, but I'm not. Why am I not a good devotee? He knows already. But we can remind him in case he forgot. Krishna, I'm not a good devotee because I have so many material desires. I want this and I want that and I need this and I need that. But when Krishna's saying, but don't you want my love and don't you need my service? Yeah, maybe that, something also that, a little bit of that's good too. That doesn't sound bad. A little bit of that'll be good. Darshan is a very broad, big subject. Definitely good to do. Gurudev, he used to spend hours on end looking at the deities when he was a young child in Calcutta. He would go to the Mulak, Mr. Mulak or Mulak or Mulak. Some family there, they had a Radha Govinda temple. Small deities, about 10 inches high or so. And Prabhupada would go there as a child, a young boy, 5-7 years old, and he would stand for hours. They say, because they interviewed that family, they say Swamiji, when he was a child, he would come here with neighborhood temple, our family house. He would come here and spend hours on end looking at the deities. I don't know what he was doing as a young boy. He was just looking and maybe making prayers and talking, or who knows, I don't know, seeing, what, who can say. But this is a very nice example Prabhupada gave of spending quality time, as they say. Spending quality time in front of the deities. And generally, we find that quality time means not Mangalarti, it means some other time. Morning time, good time to be with the deities, or any deities, is like 10 o'clock until 11, 10 a.m. to 11, 9:30 to 11. All the devotees are gone to take breakfast. And they're gone for their seva. 11 o'clock usually they close for Rajbhog. Then again, a good time to have darshan is 4:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon till around 6. These are like quiet times, and not too much big kirtans and things like this around. I used to go at this time when I lived in Vrindavan. I used to go to Krishna Balaram temple. I lived outside and I would visit the temple. Because then you can offer your prayers in a little more peaceful mood. I've often seen people in the Delhi temple. I would go in the morning to chant japa. I would sit there in front of the deities, and I would see people come in regularly if I was there a few days, certain ladies and gents, and they would stand in front of their favorite altar a long time, locked in their own meditation and their own devotions and their own prayers. I can't assume to know what they were thinking, but it was nice to see them just stay there and this, and the faces of devotion. Very impressive thing to see. Faces of devotion. Faces are the index of the mind. So in the mind, the man or lady is standing before God, then they're somewhat composed at that time, somewhat focused at that time, somewhat centered at that time, centered and focused and composed with God. So their faces are registering or showing that focus. That they don't even notice if you're looking at them. Sometimes I would look at the people. I'd be standing there up in the front of the altar chanting, and someone would come up on the other side nearby, 5-7 feet away or 10 or whatever. And I would just look at them, and they were just like looking at the deities like this. And I was thinking, boy, they're really absorbed. They're really... It's actually very nourishing. It's actually very nourishing to one's bhakti sanskaras to actually be near a devotee. To be near a devotee, to see a devotee, or to see a devotee praying, or to see a devotee chanting, or to see a devotee doing any devotional activities. It's very nourishing for one's own bhakti sanskaras. So temples of Krishna are full of devotees of Krishna, of different levels and different stages of devotion. But they all have their own asset of devotion, which they carry into the temple to offer to the Lord in darshan. So this is also a little side engagement to innocuously or harmlessly glance at the faces of the devotees while they're in the midst of their devotions. In fact, I'm such a little bit crazy about this point that sometimes when I stayed at Radha Damodar and I was a little restless, I wanted to go for a walk, but I didn't want to walk too far. I would go on the Parikrama Marg, because the Radha Damodar temple is right near the Parikrama Marg of Vrindavan. I would walk backwards on the Parikrama Marg, opposite direction, in the morning, chant japa, and I would see all the faces. I would deliberately look at all the faces of the devotees. Because my feet, they know where they're going. They don't need to have eyes to go know where they're going, because it's pretty easy to walk straight line. So I would chant japa and look at the faces of the devotees, all different sadhus, and some with beards and some with shaved head, and ladies in white, and young ladies, old men, young men. I found it to be a very nourishing experience. And moreover, when they see you walking with a very humble, appreciative, and loving look on your own face, then oftentimes they say, hey, Radhe Radhe, Baba, hey, Radhe Radhe. You're looking at them from a distance, and you're appreciating them. So all that appreciation is coming out of your face, and they're looking. They're in their own devotions, chanting whatever. Then they look up, and then they smile, and you smile because you know you are collecting something from them, collecting some of their good vibration, collecting some of their devotional drops of devotion, and sprinkling it on your own bhakti lata. Sprinkling it on your own creeper of devotion so that it would grow more luxuriantly. Because the depth of one's personal devotion depends on the extent of his association. The greater the association, the deeper the devotion. So we want to collect as many drops of devotion we can from the oceans of devotion which are contained in the hearts of all the pure devotees. Radhe Shyam.